can open our Bibles to Acts chapter 5, Acts chapter 5,
Amen.
And you should have a handout tonight that was available at the Welcome Center on your way in. And I'm going to plead guilty tonight of simplicity. I would guarantee that everyone knows everything that I'm going to say tonight. You've heard it before. But as I was praying about the Lord's leadership, I was looking into some of the things about socialism. I just felt like, you know, I think that was enough for now. May go back to it. I don't know. But the Lord just impressed my heart. Perhaps it was the meeting yesterday. I don't know. Perhaps it's the situation we're in. I don't know. But I just trust that He's led me to do this. And so I'll just go ahead and do that. Acts chapter 5, one verse tonight, and that is verse 42. Again, tonight, verses you know, things you know, but things we all, including this preacher, need to be reminded of tonight.
Amen.
So, Acts chapter 5, notice verse 42. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to
Amen.
Teach and preach Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I don't know if you've noticed on the way in the door, part of that verse is there. And sometimes we get so familiar with things, we forget it's there. I know I do, because we see it. But it's this verse right here, because it's important. And daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for this evening. Thank You for the opportunity to come together as a church. Lord, I'm grateful for Capital Baptist Church and the many years that You've used this ministry. Lord, as we read in the book of Revelation, as we see in history, that there are churches that You take their candlestick away. And Lord, I believe that part of the reason, at least, is because of what we're talking about tonight. And so, Lord, I pray that we would just continue to move forward.
Amen.
That we would not get comfortable where we're at, but we would take an honest look at ourselves in the mirror, spiritually, the mirror of Your Word.
Amen.
And ask ourselves, not only as a church, but as individuals, are we doing what You want us to do? So please help me tonight. Fill me afresh and anew with Thy Spirit.
Amen.
For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Perhaps one of the most blessed and fruitful Baptist churches in the last, I'd say, 200 years of history was the Metropolitan Tabernacle of London, England, during the pastorate of Charles Haddon Spurgeon.
Amen.
Everybody talks about Spurgeon. We quote Spurgeon. He's written so much. His sermons are just in books all over the place. Spurgeon pastored that church from 1854 to 1891. He actually died relatively young, in his late 50s. Had some severe health issues. But the church building that they built, the Metropolitan Tabernacle, was, by the way, it was called Tabernacle because it couldn't be a church if you're going to be Baptist in England at that time. So they had to call it a tabernacle. It seated nearly 6,000 people, and it was filled every Sunday. During his pastorate, thousands upon thousands of people were saved. He saw 14,692 new members. You say, well, that's an interesting number. Yes. You know, each of the members had to write out their salvation testimony and be scripturally baptized before they were accepted into the membership.
Amen.
They wanted to make sure they were saved. So they said, write it out. And they examined it to make sure that they knew the Lord. But they had 27 different Sunday schools, not Sunday school classes, Sunday schools. Imagine that. With 612 teachers that ministered to over 8,000 children. Spurgeon's death in 1892, the church had 5,307 active members. You know, many would attribute God's blessings to that ministry on the Metropolitan Tabernacle to Spurgeon's ability to preach. And by the way, he was a great preacher.
Right.
He certainly could preach. I love reading his sermons. I don't do it enough, but I do read them. But people have the idea that Spurgeon preached, the great Spurgeon, and people came flocking and everybody got saved when he preached. That's not how it happened. It's really not. You say, well, then how did it happen? Now, people did get saved when he preached, no doubt. But throughout the week, the Metropolitan Tabernacle had an average of 3,000 of its members out evangelizing their city.
Amen.
And they were out, many of them, almost every day. I mean, they went street preaching. There was aggressive tract distribution in London and the surrounding areas. There was one-on-one soul winning. There was witnessing to people at their door in their workplace. Because of their evangelism efforts, thousands were saved and their lives were changed, giving evidence of a true conversion.
Amen.
You see, reaching their Jerusalem was their passion. It was her passion. Did you know this is the way that every New Testament church is supposed to be?
Amen.
Everyone.
Right.
We at Capital Baptist Church ought to be evangelizing our Jerusalem, giving out the gospel to them.
Amen.
The question is, are we? Notice in our text we read, and daily in the temple and in every house they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Now, for the next couple of weeks, I'd like to preach a few messages on this subject, the marks of a strong church.
Amen.
Because I want our church to be strong. I do. I want us to be strong. But what is a strong church? What makes up a strong church? Is it the number? Is it the amount of people sitting out there? I don't think so. There's more to it. In fact, a lot more to it. And hopefully over the next few weeks we'll see that. But here's one of the elements that we find here tonight, and you see it there on your handout. Notice we read, a strong church evangelizes their Jerusalem.
Amen.
That's what a strong church does.
Right.
They evangelize their Jerusalem. You know, before the Lord Jesus Christ left this earth and ascended back to heaven, of course, after the cross of Calvary and His resurrection and all that, He gave the local church a very definite and specific command. Matter of fact, He repeated it 5 different occasions at Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, Matthew 28 verses 18 through 20, Luke 24, 44 through 47, John 20, 21, and Acts 1, 8. We'll look at a few of those in a little bit. But He said in Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, and He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now the word gospel here is from the Greek word evangelion. It's actually an EU, evangelion. It is where we get the word evangelize. It's from the word gospel. We are commanded to give out the gospel or evangelize every creature.
Amen.
Everyone.
Right.
Now the gospel we know is defined for us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verses 1 through 3. It is the soul-saving message of the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for the sins of the world. He was buried and He rose from the dead. And anyone who will simply repent of their sin and trust Him as Savior will have a home in heaven. They'll have their sins forgiven. Simply put, the gospel is Jesus Christ alone saves.
Praise the Lord.
And we have been commanded to evangelize the lost.
Amen.
Now, yes, we've been commanded to evangelize the entire world. I get that. I just read that in Mark 16, 15. Go ye into all the world. That's a command for our church. The entire world. Acts 1:8 says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. We're to win the entire world all at once, if you will.
Amen.
But it is to begin in Jerusalem.
Right.
In our Jerusalem. Luke 24:47, the Bible says, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations. Watch this. Beginning at Jerusalem.
Amen.
Start where you are.
Right.
Now, what is our Jerusalem? I wrote it there on your sheet. Notice I just defined it this way. Our Jerusalem could be defined as this. The area in which those we reach can reasonably attend our church, serve our church, serve in our church actively, and be ministered to by our church. Somebody lives an hour and a half away, an hour away, or 45 minutes for that matter. Well, probably over an hour. Of course, depending on the situation and the availability of churches. But if there's a church there, they should go to that church if it's a good church. Because it's hard to serve with that distance. But if there's no church around, I understand that then I would drive farther than that to go to a good church. And so would you, I'm sure. But again, our Jerusalem is that area that we reach where people that can reasonably attend our church, serve in our church, and be ministered to by our church.
Amen.
That includes places like Dover, right here. It includes places like Camden, Wyoming, and Kenton, and Felton, and Magnolia, and Frederica, and more. Notice I've been in Delaware a while. I said it right, Frederica, right? Not Frederica, and it's Townsend and not Townsend. You know, I'm getting it now, I think. It's been long enough. Houston, I still can't get. That's just weird. It's Houston. No, it's Houston, anyway. But imagine it includes all those areas. It includes the colleges in those in that area.
Amen.
By the way, we have several of them.
Right.
Right? We have Dell State. We have Wesley. We have Dell Tech. It includes Dover Air Force Base. That's our Jerusalem.
Amen.
It includes the nursing homes. These are all our responsibility.
Amen.
Ever thought of it that way? We are responsible for them. We must not neglect our Jerusalem.
Amen.
And a strong church won't.
That's good.
The question is, are we?
Amen.
Are we? I think every time we look at this, we would all admit that no matter where we are, we'd say we could do a better job.
Amen.
But where are we tonight as a church? Let's put COVID aside for a moment, okay, and think about it. Let's consider several reminders about evangelizing our Jerusalem this evening. Notice number one. I got five of them tonight. I'm going to be quick. I claimed simplicity, not brevity. Amen. But notice number one, the priority of evangelism. Can I say this tonight? Evangelism must be a priority. By the way, I'm preaching to myself tonight. I really am, and I mean that. Because with all this that's going on, it's very easy not to keep it a priority. Everything we're dealing with, the busyness of life, all the things we have to deal with. Now, I understand that evangelism is not the only thing we are to do as a church, but it must be the main thing that we do as a church.
Amen.
Wouldn't you agree?
Evangelism
should be a top priority in our church, primarily because Jesus Christ commanded it to be a priority.
Amen.
John 15:16, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. The Lord Jesus said this, listen, I've chosen you, I've picked you, you are to go and you are to produce fruit and fruit that remains. You see, our primary purpose on earth is to get the gospel out to a lost and dying world. And it must be a priority.
Amen.
You know why it must be a priority? And again, it's not the only thing we do, but it needs to be the main thing.
Amen.
Because you can't baptize anyone unless they've first been saved. At least not biblically you can't. You can't have, someone can't join the church. And we like, oh, I hope people join. They've got to be saved first.
Amen.
They have to know the Lord. You can't disciple someone that is not saved. Not truly, you can't. You shouldn't serve in a ministry unless you're saved.
Amen.
You can't expect somebody to live for God, have a burden for God's work and the lost if they're not saved.
Right.
We can't see changes in people's lives unless they're first saved. You know, no matter what problem someone comes to me with, the very first thing I want to know, if I don't know it, are you saved?
Amen.
It could be drugs, it could be alcohol, it could be depression, you name it. What do? We go to the root of the matter, we say, hey, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Why do we do that? What about all these other problems they have? Because the priority is evangelism.
Amen.
They can't change without a change of heart, and the change of heart comes from the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, evangelism was a priority in the life of Christ.
Praise the Lord.
It was a priority. We see Christ preaching the gospel everywhere he went. That's what he did to crowds and to individuals. That was his priority. Matthew 4:23, and Jesus went about all Galilee teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. That was his priority. Yes, he healed people. Yes, he did things. He did good to people. But the priority was getting them saved. That was number one on the list. Christ dealt with individuals as well. In John chapter 3, what a remarkable thing it was when he dealt with Nicodemus. We can learn lots of things about dealing with religious people. Then in John chapter 4, the woman at the well, how he took a circumstance and he drew her in from that circumstance to give her the gospel. Oh, what lessons we can learn about evangelism from our Savior. You know, the very reason that Christ came to earth is found in Luke 19:10. I know it's the cross, but we read, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost."
Amen. Praise the Lord.
And that's why we're here.
Amen.
Evangelism was a priority number two, or letter B, of the apostles. When Christ sent them out, what did he tell them to do? He said, "Go build some houses for people. Go run a soup kitchen." Not against those things. I'm not at all. But it's not the gospel.
Amen.
And we shouldn't put that in the place of the gospel. We'll get to that a little bit later. We read in Luke chapter 9 and verse 6, "And they departed and went through the towns preaching the gospel and healing everywhere." That's what they did.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, go to the early church as well. Evangelism was a priority, not only in the life of Christ and the apostles, but in the early church. Oh, I just finished reading through the book of Acts. It's an exciting book. When I read it, I say, what happened to us? And I say, what happened to me? Where did that zeal go? Where did that burden go? But that's what we see. Acts 8:25, "And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans." That's after they were scattered abroad. They went everywhere preaching the gospel. That's what they did. It was their priority. Acts chapter 14, verses 6 and 7. "They were aware of it and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about, and there they preached the gospel." That was in the city of Iconium. Then in Derbe, just a few verses later, they're in another place. Acts 14:21. "And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch." I like what Paul said in Acts chapter 20. He summed up his ministry very well there in Acts 20:24, a verse that many of us have as a life verse, or we've memorized. "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus." What is that ministry? To testify the gospel of the grace of God. That's how Paul summed up his life, ministry.
Amen.
To testify of the gospel of the grace of God.
Praise the Lord.
You see, this should be the priority.
Amen.
Of every New Testament church. Evangelism. Oh, go over with me to Romans chapter 10, if you would please. A familiar passage. I told you I'd be in some familiar verses tonight. Romans chapter 10. Sometimes we forget this. But in verse 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." We love that verse. I love the whosoever's of the Bible. Because we're the whosoever's. No matter where we were, what we did, how far away we were from God, how religious we were or we weren't. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." But don't stop there. "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed?"
Right.
You can't call if you haven't believed. You can say words, but they're not salvation words if you haven't believed. "And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard?"
Amen.
"And how shall they hear without a preacher?"
Amen.
Somebody has to tell them.
Amen.
And the person that's going to tell them has to be a person that knows him as Savior.
Amen.
You know, so many churches are doing everything today but evangelism.
Right.
Everything. I mean, they have all kinds of things going on. And by the way, they're not all bad. I'm not criticizing them. Matter of fact, some of the things I'm going to mention here in a moment are things we do. And they're not bad things. In fact, they have their place. But they'll have musicals and plays and dramas and cantatas and conferences. We'll have special meetings. We'll go to special meetings. We'll host special meetings. We'll have special outings. This group goes here and this group goes there and this other one goes there. We'll have sewing classes. We'll have softball teams and golf outings. We'll have work days and fellowships and prayer breakfasts and Sunday school outings. And we spend so much time doing so many other things. And they're good things. And the one thing that often gets left out,
amen,
is evangelism. Hey, have you ever heard this? Hey, Sunday school class, let's all show up for Saturday soul winning. That'll be our fellowship this month.
Praise the Lord.
Just saying. It kind of goes to the back of the burner, doesn't it, many times? And that's a dangerous thing.
Amen.
You know, in 1889, Archibald Brown, he was a student at Spurgeon's college, a student of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, he wrote a book entitled this, The Devil's Mission of Amusement. He said in that book that, quote, providing recreation for the people will soon be looked upon as a necessary part of Christian work and as binding upon the church of God as though it were a divine command. I want to say we're there. We're there. What programs do you have? What fellowships do you have? What outings do we have? Entertain us, make us happy, will you? It's the consumer mentality that we've adopted. He said, and I paraphrase, we have gone from speaking out against frivolities of the day to tolerating them and now adopting them. Some churches have movie outings. Imagine that. You see, we must, if we're going to be a strong church, we must keep evangelism a priority.
Amen.
So we see, number one, the priority of evangelism in the life of Christ, the apostles, and the early church. Notice number two, if you would, the place of evangelism. We'll go back to our text in Acts chapter 5 and verse 42. Notice it reads in Acts 5:42, and daily in the temple and in every house they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Notice two things in that verse that are A, write it down. The when of evangelism. When did they go? Hey, it's there. I didn't write it, you know. I'm just reading it. And what's the next word? Daily.
Amen.
Every day.
Praise the Lord.
The early church spoke to people about Christ every single day. And we should strive to do the same. I'm not talking necessarily about having organized soul winning every day. I'm talking about you and me as an individual. We should strive to talk to people about Christ every single day.
Amen.
We should go out and have our spiritual antennas up.
Amen.
Wherever we go. And so often we don't. Or should I say, I don't. I got things to do. I got places to go. I have a schedule. Hey, I'm just putting gas in my tank. I shouldn't notice anybody else that happened to be walking by me. I'm just picking up something there at Wawa, and I'm not thinking about that. Why not?
That's good. Amen.
Why not? Could we say something's wrong?
Amen.
We should be looking for opportunities.
Amen.
We should be seeking opportunities.
Right.
We should be praying for opportunities.
Amen.
We should, part of our daily prayer should be asking God to open doors of opportunities.
Amen.
We should be doing this all the time.
Right. Amen.
You see, we must change our thinking and not look at witnessing as an event that takes place only on Saturday mornings for 2 hours. We must make it a lifestyle. We must make it a habit.
Amen.
Acts 1:8, and ye shall be witnesses. You'll be witnessing. Be witnesses.
Amen.
It's a noun, not just a verb.
Amen.
It's more than going witnessing. It's being a witness everywhere we go.
Amen.
We read in Acts 2:47, just a few pages back, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. How did He add to the church daily? Obviously, they were getting saved daily. and baptized and added to the church. I remember when I first got saved and I went back to work and was growing in the Lord and I was in a pretty interesting place for witnessing, you know. I was at work at a casino but the great thing about it was I had hundreds of people in our department. We did. And I was actually a supervisor over them, which was kind of like nice and so forth. But my point is this, I would go in at times and say, Lord, who's going to be today? Because there'd always be somebody that we'd have a conversation with, and somebody that the Lord opened the door, and so forth, and they'd ask me questions, or I'd talk to them, or they'd be standing there alone, and I'd be standing there, and we'd start talking when it was okay to do that. I didn't do it instead of working. But then I asked myself, what happened? What happened to that mentality? A little different, you know, when you're around saved people a lot in the ministry, really. You come into work, you go to save people, you're working around a Christian school. Everybody's saved. You got to go out looking for people.
Amen.
But you have to be proactive. See, the when of evangelism is all the time. Stop thinking about, well, I can't go Saturday, so I guess I'm out. Stop thinking that way. All of us in the congregation, at least sometime or another, should be turning in a card. Hey, I led this person to the Lord. Let's follow up on them sometime.
Amen.
We should.
Good.
Then we see the where of evangelism. This ties in the temple and in every house. Daily in the temple. Often we get the idea that church services are the only place where the gospel should be given out. Well, preacher, that's what you're here for. You're going to give the gospel out. Well, we think, well, it's only during Sunday school that the gospel should be given out. Or only during chapel or teen camp or junior church or VBS. Yeah, we understand that those are the only places that we're responsible for giving out the gospel. That's not true.
Amen.
The gospel should be given out everywhere. So many churches have taken for their church verse, if you would, Acts 20:20, and have adopted the phrase, having 20/20 vision, you know. And it goes like this, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. The idea is it's not just from the pulpit, or it's from house to house, individual. My point is this, everywhere we go, everywhere we are, well, we should view it as an opportunity to give out the gospel.
Amen.
The place is not just when you're teaching your Sunday school class, or junior church, or preaching a chapel message.
Good.
It must get out of these four walls.
Amen.
And into the marketplace.
Amen.
So we see the place of evangelism. Number three, would you write this down? Not only the priority of evangelism, the place of evangelism, but the people involved in evangelism. Matthew 28:18, you know the Great Commission. Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations. Ye, that's a plural word.
Amen.
It's not singular.
Right.
In essence, what he's saying is, all of you,
amen,
everyone, who should be involved in evangelism? Every believer.
Amen.
Everyone. Everybody should be, everybody, I'll say it again, everybody,
amen,
should be actively attempting to win people to the Lord. No matter what your age, if you're saved, and you know you're saved, you can tell others how you got saved.
Praise the Lord.
Start with your testimony. This is what the Lord did for me. He'll do the same thing for you. No matter how old you are. No matter what your occupation. And no matter what level of education you have.
Amen.
Every believer. This is part of the Christian life. It's as much a part of the Christian life as attending church and giving. And witnessing is a part of it. It's a part of our life that the Lord wants us to live.
Amen.
Especially if you hold a leadership position. You're supposed to be an example. You're someone who teaches a class, or you stand up before people. That's part of your ministry. This is part of it. And not, it's not to why I taught my lesson. I'm going home now. No, it's more than that.
Amen.
We always say the Sunday school is reaching and teaching, not just teaching.
Amen.
It's going after people as well, and not just in the classroom.
Right.
You know, so often we get the idea that witnessing or soul winning is for, you know, those outgoing people. You know, those people that have that sort of personality. That's who's supposed to do it. Or those that, you know, those people that can do a better job than me. I can't do that good of a job. Yes, you can if you're saved.
Amen.
You absolutely can.
Praise the Lord.
We say, well, it's for those preachers that know their Bible better than me. What if someone asks me a question I can't understand or I can't answer? That doesn't matter. Still witness to them.
Amen.
Just say, I don't know the answer to that, but I'll find it out and get it to you later. But let's talk
Amen.
About Jesus Christ and what He can do for you.
Sometimes
we think it's for those that are on staff. After all, preacher, that's why you're here and the staff's here. That's why we pay you.
Amen.
Tell us all the juicy stories of what happened in your life about witnessing. It's for all of us.
Right.
We should all have stories. But do we? You see, the people involved in evangelism is supposed to be all of us.
Good.
And then number four. Notice, if you would, the product of evangelism. Why? Why are we doing this? Because of what it produces.
Praise the Lord.
I know everyone in this room, if I were to say how many are happy or saved, you'd raise your hand. I know
Amen.
You would. We all are.
Right.
We're glad somebody told us.
In
fact, we think of that person and we highly esteem them for giving us the gospel. And we ought to.
Amen.
Because they told us what we needed to hear, which isn't always easy.
Amen.
But think of what it produced. The reason you're here tonight, the reason I'm here tonight, is because somebody told us the gospel.
Right.
Somebody shared with us what Jesus Christ did for us and went beyond that and challenged us to receive Him as Savior. Imagine, now Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's what happens when a person trusts Christ as Savior.
Amen.
John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Acts 2:21, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You see, the product of evangelism should be true conversions.
Amen.
Imagine, people get saved. Their eternal destination is changed. And the Lord changes their life as well.
Praise the Lord.
I tell you, it was precious on Sunday with that man Eddie that was here.
Praise the Lord.
He wanted me to talk to him. I was talking to folks and we were talking to each other. I was talking to him and I had Patrick go and talk to him in the back. And I saw I'd be in after because he wanted to talk to me as well. And so I said, you know, my goodbyes to folks and I went over there and talked to him. This man was crying.
Praise the Lord.
This man was so thankful that someone told him how to be saved.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
He was so excited about it.
Amen.
You know, that did something for me.
Amen.
It helped me to realize once again, why don't we do that more? Or at least try to do it more. How can we not go after people like we should? Now, I understand that salvation is of the Lord, and I understand that every man has a free will. But understand, when we give out the gospel, what is vitally important in order to have the product of salvation is to be as thorough as humanly possible.
Amen.
When we deal with them. To make sure they understand what we're saying, ask questions, go through the gospel as clear as possible to make sure that they're not just, we're not trying to get someone to just say a prayer.
Amen.
That's not what we're trying to do. We're to make a commitment. It's not a sales pitch.
Amen. Right.
We're not trying to raise our numbers up, if you know what I mean, or get it done as fast as we can. We should seek true conversions. And true conversion or true salvation is regeneration, which is a supernatural transformation. It is someone being made a new creature in Jesus Christ. They are translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of His dear Son.
Praise the Lord.
Thank God for what salvation does, not only for eternity, but for our lives as well. The same thing that God has done in your life and my life, He wants to do in other people's lives as well. But He needs an instrument, a vessel.
Amen.
somebody, that's just the way He's ordained this thing, that we go and tell for Him, that we are His mouthpiece.
Amen.
That's why as a church, this has to be the main thing.
Amen.
And we have close to 40,000 people around this church. I know in some places that's nothing, but that's a lot to me.
Amen.
And most of them are lost.
Right.
And we're responsible.
Amen.
This is our Jerusalem.
Amen.
God has put us here. God has brought us together.
Praise the Lord.
So we see the priority of evangelism, the place of evangelism, the people involved in evangelism, the product of evangelism. But then lastly, number five, and quickly, we'll see the practical ways of evangelizing our Jerusalem. So what do we do? One preacher put it this way. He said, the more hooks you have in the water, the more likely it is you're going to catch some fish.
Right.
And that's true. What are some of the things that we need to do as a church and as individuals? Well, of course, we know door-to-door evangelism. I can't wait to start that back up. We're going to. I'm ready to roll. I really am. And we've seen people saved even without that, with other ways. But we should be fervent at that. That's what they did in the Bible. They went house to house publicly and from house to house. That's a Bible principle. Then there's tract distribution. You can hand out a tract. Everybody hold your hand up right in the air. See, you can do that. Okay, pinch your fingers together. There you go. You can do it.
Amen.
And stretch your arm out. Don't hit somebody. Make sure you stay 6 feet away too. We can. We can do that. That's the gospel in written form. And that's such a great tool when you don't have the time. You're passing by. You're waiting in the line. It's a cashier. You're at the bank. Whatever it may be. Where you only have a moment. Be packed with tracts.
Amen.
And hand them out. Don't be afraid.
Good.
Then there's marketplace witnessing, Dover Days and different things when they have them. Street preaching as well. That's another way we can do it. Today you can use our website. Matter of fact, tomorrow we're going to put a recording together. I'm going to give the gospel out and we're going to put it out on the website. A simple gospel plan. We're going to do our best to get it out to people, and I'm going to ask you to get it out to people as well. It's an easy way to evangelize.
Amen.
You can have a personal Bible study in your home with a neighbor or somebody. Now, you're not trying to do something that goes against the church. We understand that. Church is a pillar and ground of truth. But you can use things that we have, tools that we have, to draw. If you can't get them into the church, get the Bible into them.
Amen.
And God will work in their heart, and then they'll want to come to church. Then we have our special meetings, evangelistic meetings. We can invite people out for those things as well. We have people that are our neighbors. We have people that we work with. We have people that we pass by. My point is this. This is our Jerusalem. And everybody we come into contact with is our responsibility.
Amen.
And it needs to be a priority. I've said this before, and in fact, I said it very recently. We hold missionaries. Can you imagine if a missionary came and said, well, we don't do any of that stuff. We don't witness. We don't evangelize. Imagine if every missionary had the same type of evangelism that we had as individuals.
Good.
We'd stop supporting them. But the Lord wants us to be the same.
Amen.
To be evangelizing. You see, a strong church does everything in their power to reach our Jerusalem.
Amen.
I know, we'll get into Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost. That's part of it too. But tonight we're talking about our responsibility that's right under our nose.
Amen.
The question is this. Will you be a part of it?
Good.
It's never going to happen until we take individual, personal responsibility for getting the gospel out.
Amen.
One quote and we're done. Preacher said this recently. A great many of the churches that are still sound in the Bible, music and standards, are dying. And a major reason is that evangelism has fallen into neglect in so many churches. There's no zeal. There's no passion. There's no burden for souls. It's gone. I want us to be a strong church.
Amen.
You know what that means? That means we need to be reminded tonight of what we're here for where we are, and what our responsibility is. Again, a strong church evangelizes its Jerusalem.
Amen.
Let's pray together.